Boys and Girls Club and West End and all the other after-school centers aren't providing daycare or child care. We're providing youth development. So we're developing our youth. Yeah. So I think that's attractive to parents.
Right.
And a longtime supporter of West End came in the other day and told me that he thought that West End was a place of hope.
She is a digital marketing specialist who can spin the meanest website around.
And he's host of the TV show Buzz, which features nonprofit organizations receiving marketing makeovers.
Here on Buzz for Good, we talk all things nonprofit, the people they serve and the good they do.
And we talk to creative professionals and provide marketing tips and tools to help your nonprofit achieve more.
That's right.
Buzz!
Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Buzz for Good. It is that time of year when millions of children across the U.S. return to school. So on today's Back to School special, we are going to feature three nonprofits that provide amazing after-school programs that help parents by providing a safe, enriching refuge for their kids while they finish their work days, and provide children a place to become better students, better leaders, even better filmmakers. I am Michael Hemphill, creator and host of both this radio show and the TV show Buzz, which airs on Blue Ridge PBS, where we feature the great work that nonprofit organizations do in our communities, and the marketing professionals affiliated with the American Advertising Federation of Roanoke, who donate their time and talent to help these nonprofits achieve more buzz. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following our social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and now, that's right, TikTok, all at Buzz for Good. That's Buzz, B-U-Z-Z, number 4, good. You can also subscribe to our newsletter and watch our 23 episodes of Buzz to date on our website, buzzforgood.com. Our most recent episode that you can watch on our website or YouTube channel features one of the nonprofits that we are highlighting today, and that is the Grandin Theater Film Lab. We're going to save that part for the end of today's show. First, we are going to feature some conversations that I had recently with two nonprofits that we're going to start producing for our TV show later this fall. The West End Center and Boys and Girls Clubs of Southwest Virginia. I caught up with their leadership during a very quiet week while their sites were transitioning from their all-day summer programming to the after-school model that they will institute once schools start around the region. While both are similar in operation, their histories and offerings are very unique. And so we're excited to start production on them for our TV show and connect them with some incredible marketing talent to provide them with updated websites and other pro bono creative assets to help them attract more donors, volunteers, and clients to their cause. First up is my conversation with West End Center Executive Director Karen Pillis. Welcome to Buzz for Good, Karen Pillis.
Thank you for having me.
It's just delighted to have you here. And I got to say, it's very quiet around here.
It's so sadly quiet today. No children till next Tuesday.
Yeah, so today is August 15th, and you are in between your summer program, which
yes.
is a full-day program.
Yes.
And then your after-school program, which starts next Tuesday, August the 23rd, which is the first day of school for Roanoke
yes.
City Public School.
Yes, we follow the Roanoke City Public School calendar. So when they go back, we go back.
So it's very quiet around here.
Super quiet.
is that good for you personally, just work-wise, to have a little break?
I think it's really good for my staff. You know, it's a long, hot summer for 8-hour, 9-hour days. And this summer, we expanded our summer program to be respectful of our working parents. So we had early drop-off as early as 7:45.
Nice.
And that's the first year in a while that they've had that early of a drop-off. And then we stayed here until pickup was at 5. But if you were a working parent, you could pick them up as late as 5:15. which with traffic and, you know, late meetings and things like that, it was sometimes 5:30. Often it was 5:30. So it was a long day for my staff, and they are, I think, enjoying the time off. Yeah. They'll come back Monday to regroup in their rooms and get their supplies and their lessons and everything together, because they will be expected to hit the ground running on Tuesday. But for me, because I'm not with the children all day, every minute of the day, it's super sad because I'm not with them at all during the weeks off. This summer, though, we had such an expanded program. We had 11 teenagers, 11 high schoolers, and seven of them worked for us. Mm. We had a little internship program for them that they worked in the morning and in the afternoon, were just teens with us. So in the afternoon, they didn't really want to be with the middle schoolers. That kind of was a drag. And so what we know about teenagers, about high schoolers, is that they're telling us there are not enough programs that cater to them, that do things that they want to do in Roanoke. So we were really excited to have them, and I didn't want to kind of disrespect their time by having them spend all their days with sixth graders, which probably would have been okay, but they really liked, I think, that they didn't. So they spent a lot of their afternoons, many of them sitting in this office or sitting in our reception area. So I was with kids pretty much from 1 o'clock till 5:30 every day. And it was great. And I got no work done and none from 1 to 5:30.
Yeah.
But it was great to build relationships with them, since I am fairly new here and I didn't know a lot of them very well. Yeah. So I feel like now I have great relationships with them, and I kind of know what helps them tick, and I kind of know what I want to do in the high school with the high school program this fall when school starts back. So it was really helpful. The job training program, I think, was great for them. I told them, you know, we're your references. You need to work, like, we're going to be providing references for your next job. And so they got paychecks. They had to apply for the job. They had to do their tax forms, all of that. And I think it was a great first job experience for a lot of them. We would have debriefs. The first 4 weeks of the program, we had a debrief every Thursday with the high schoolers and me, and talking about, you know, what was your favorite part of the week? Mm-hmm. What do you feel like maybe you could have done better, or we could have done better this week? And what are you going to change for next week? And then some of the things that we saw, their strengths. And, you know, I really liked it when I saw this. So it really wasn't as much of a coaching from a negative perspective. It was kind of coaching from a positive strength perspective. And they, I think, really liked it. And it was so endearing to hear what they had to say, because their work hours with us were focused on the younger children. And to hear, you know, I really liked it when I could calm this child down from a tantrum, or when I could step in between these two who are fighting and remind them, you know, they were friends. And so to hear the impact the smaller kids were having on them, and knowing that they were having an equal impact on the smaller kids, was really, really, it was enriching for me.
Yeah. It sounds like it's not only was good work experience, but probably a good parenting experience for them
in the future. Yes, definitely. So,
wonderful.
So that is, so this being here today on a Monday without any kids whatsoever, and now it being in the afternoon and not having any kids laying around on my sofa, some days I'd have naps time over there. I feel very lonely. I'm glad you came to visit today.
Absolutely. Well, once again, joined by Karen Pillis, the executive director of the West End Center, which provides low-cost, if not no-cost, programming for children ages kindergarten through high school.
Yes.
All day during the summer, and then after school, during the school year. And that after-school program will start next Tuesday, August 23rd, when Roanoke City Public School starts. You were talking about the fall schedule. What does after-school program look like here at West End Center?
Well, don't look at the first week, you know, because that's the bus. That's when who comes is always kind of, I think, up in the air.
Yeah.
But after we get settled in and after transportation gets worked out, we do get buses from all the city school, all the city elementary and middle schools, except for the Southeast schools, since they have Boys and Girls Club and Presbyterian Community Center down there.
Okay.
They do not send buses here.
Gotcha.
But so we do get buses from all the rest of the middle and elementary schools, and they'll come in. The elementary school gets kids, the earliest ones usually come from Hurt Park, which is right around the corner, and they get here about 2:35 or so. And they come, they have some free time as we're gathering. Then they have their snack. And then depending on the day, everybody has a homework time every day. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a challenge in the past year because Roanoke City Schools has really kind of changed their focus on homework. And they really are being very intentional in what they assign. And it's many fewer assignments. Mm-hmm. So for us to fill up that time with meaningful work for our kids, we're really glad that we had some other things in place already to be able to help them academically or to enrich them academically, I guess, while Roanoke City Schools has made this kind of change in their expectations for homework. So they'll have homework, and homework might look like playing a game of chess if they don't have any homework. Mm-hmm. It might look like playing a computer game. Sure. And then they will also, on any given day, have a literacy group. They have literacy groups at least twice a week. They'll have STEAM groups once a week.
STEAM being science, technology, engineering, art, and math.
Math, okay. Yes, sir.
STEAM. Yep.
And we are working with a few retired teachers from the Roanoke City Schools on a new concept called numeracy, which is, I think, a lot of your listeners and a lot of people have probably heard of literacy, but mm-hmm. Literacy is to be kind of comfortable with words and reading, and numeracy is to be comfortable with numbers yeah. and kind of simple math concepts that you take with you into more structured math classes.
Mm. Okay.
And so it might be playing dice games. It might be, there are ways that you help kids to be comfortable with numbers and numerical concepts, spatial concepts, that will really do them well in their years to come in academics. But it's a new concept for me. It's mm-hmm. probably not for a lot of people, but it was for me. I'd never heard it, so I have to think about it. Is it numeracy? And so we'll be working with them in our STEAM groups as well to help support their numeracy. And I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
And then we have Family Service of Roanoke Valley, who works with all of our kids one day a week in a social-emotional learning curriculum. We provide health and nutrition every single day. They will have calisthenics or some kind of a structured kind of health fitness activity. We have the Virginia Cooperative Extension does some healthy eating for us. Mm-hmm. LEAP has done some healthy eating lessons for us. Last year, and he's coming back this year, Jordan Harmon from the Jefferson Center came over and did some music. Mm. Mill Mountain Theater also provides some
wow.
instruction for parts of the year. So we do have a lot of enriching activities as well as remedial activities. So a lot of our kids don't need remediation. They just need to stay on track. And then,
sounds like a lot of collaborations with a lot
yes,
of different nonprofits
throughout
yes, the city as well.
That's one of my favorite things in this job is to see all the other people who are providing services out there with kids. We do have in the past had a partnership with Boys and Girls Club. They had a job training program for the high schoolers that went here. And that was really exciting through United Way. So that was really a community-based mm-hmm. Kind of startup program, which was very well received by our teens. And this summer, Junior Achievement was here to help our kids think through starting a pop-up. We were doing gardening. We have a little garden plot, and our hope was that we were going to get enough tomatoes and peppers to make salsa and sell at the West End Market. Our tomatoes went bust. They found a hard lesson for a startup is,
right.
You got to put in the work to have the product. And so we couldn't go through with that, which was very disappointing, but they did have a cooking lesson with LEAP, and they did do the Junior Achievement pop-up business program.
Okay.
So we really depend on our partners in the community to bring their expertise here. We feel like our expertise is providing a safe, nurturing environment for our teens and our children, our kindergarten I say teens because they're on my side of the street, but mm-hmm. the elementary school kids across the street are equally important. Safe, nurturing, healthy environment for them with a focus on literacy and academics and numeracy now.
Okay. How many kids are you going to provide after-school programming for?
We've got about 134 on the roll right now.
Okay.
after that first week, we'll see, you know, sometimes parents decide they'd rather their kids come home, or the school-based is where they wanted to send their children. And we do have a wait list, so we feel like that's a good number, that about 130, 135 children would be our goal.
What's the reason why kids come here after school?
Well, I think I think academic support and help and enrichment. I think our staff, the relationships they build with kids. So mm-hmm. I think that's like super, super important. We aren't, I'm going to say two words and I'm going to attribute them.
Okay.
Michelle Davis says that Michelle Davis from Boys and Girls Club says, you know, that Boys and Girls Club and West End and all the other after school centers aren't providing daycare or child care. We're providing youth development. So we're developing our youth. Yeah. So I think that's attractive to parents.
Right.
And a longtime supporter of West End, Mr. Chubb, came in the other day and told me that he thought that West End was a place of hope for the community and for parents and children.
Yeah.
So I think that's why for 43 years, West End has been here and providing these programs to our kids and our neighborhoods. And I think kids come here because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Their friends come here. We have huge crowds from Fairview and Hurt Park are probably our biggest two feeder schools. So if you go to Fairview, you're going to have friends who come here right off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these kids grow up here. So we keep them. Once they start at West End, they stay kindergarten through middle school. And our goal now is to keep them in the high school. So they have been with these kids for a long time. My high schoolers that came back this summer and were doing their internship program with us, I watched how their relationships rebuilt, because a lot of them hadn't come very often in the fall and the winter. The commitment they made was that they would this fall and winter and spring during the school year come at least one day a week to continue the relationships they were able to build with the elementary school kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I also watched them rebuild their relationships with their peers
mm-hmm.
that they hadn't really seen very much, because half of them go to Fleming and half of them go to PH, and they really didn't have a whole lot of experience with each other over the last, I had seven juniors and seniors. So since maybe eighth grade, they didn't come every day. So it was really great to watch those friendships rebuild. And I think that is, we would hope that West End is seen as an extended family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Once again, joined here on Buzz for Good by Karen Pillis, the executive director of West End Center, which provides summer programming, but that's in the past now, because now we're looking ahead to after-school programming here in Roanoke. You were talking about 134 kids that will come here after school starting on August the 23rd. Are there any criteria that are in place for like income or geography or?
Well, we can't get them here from Southeast if they're in elementary school. So that is, if they live in Southeast and they have a relationship with us, there are parents who bring their children here from Southeast just because they're older kids. They lived over here at one time and their older kids started here. So that's really the only geographic criteria in Roanoke City.
Right.
As far as other criteria, there really aren't any. You know, we want the kids to be safe here and to be able to benefit from our programming. And there are some diagnoses, you know, I come from the mental health world, so I would say there are some kids who might not be able to. We do have 134 kids, so it's loud and it's busy, and they change from group to group to group. And some kids who maybe need to, you know, sit and stay and have trouble with transitions might not love it here. We certainly wouldn't say that they couldn't give it a try. But, you know, an after school kind of program has to be a partnership between the family, the kids, and the staff.
Mm.
And sometimes it works for us and not them, and sometimes it works for them and not us. But that is so rare and few and far between kids who don't love it here.
But as far as income guidelines, you accept
all income.
All levels.
It's $20 a week
$20.
For per kid. If you have more than one kid, there's a $5 break. So, and then for third and fourth kids, it's all free. So the most your family would pay is $35 a week. We have some families who have four kids here. And maybe even five. So we think we're quite a bargain.
Yes.
For people. We are investigating a scholarship kind of program to a needs-based kind of program, but right now we are at $20 a week per child.
But obviously that doesn't cover all of your operating costs.
No, it doesn't.
Any idea what percentage of your costs are covered by just that?
About 10% in our budget is that's if what we're budgeting to bring in from parent fees, student fees. It's about 10% of our budget.
And so the rest is made up of?
Donors and grants. We are lucky enough to be recipients of several local grants. Roanoke City. We get some United Way funding through Family Service of Roanoke Valley. So we are blessed with strong relationships with our local funding partners who see the value in what we do and have traditionally supported us through the years, so we are very grateful for them. And then donors and a couple of special events through the year, and getting ready for one right now. But our donors really are really key for what we do, and we have a strong faith-based donor network. Raleigh Court Presbyterian and Second Presbyterian are extremely generous to us, as are other churches, as they can be, and as we are in several other churches' budgets. Mm-hmm. Those are large churches, Second Pres and Raleigh Court Pres, so those are churches that we really see a huge amount of donations from, and in volunteerism as well. So Raleigh Court Presbyterian just did our school supply drive. It used to be a backpack drive, but now it's school supply drive. And they provided school supplies for 134 kids. They got the supply list by grade, by school. So Karen Pillis, if I went to Hurt Park and was in the third grade, Karen Pillis would have had a Kroger bag donated by Kroger. Thank you, Kroger. Full of school supplies that had been requested by my teachers. So that was, Raleigh Court spends a lot of money and a lot of time. It was lovely that we had a room full of Kroger bags full of school supplies Friday when the parents came and picked them up. It was really wonderful to watch the parents and the kids, and we are very grateful for their work with us.
Outstanding. Wow. Well, thank you to all those supporters of West End Center. You were talking about a fall fundraiser. So what could we look forward to with that?
Well, some of your listeners may remember we have a 5K and have had one for probably 13 or 14 years. It's called the Spooky Sprint. And it is held at Wasena Park on October 29th, and they come in their Halloween costumes, and we have costume contests that go along with it. We have, in the past, have been had lots of support from the local running community, as well as Scratch Biscuit has brought briskets. We've had all sorts of food and beverage, fun beverages afterwards. And so it's always been a really fun day. This fall, we're planning on expanding the event to include a wellness fair and a fall festival. So our youth and their families who don't run have not always attended Spooky Sprint, but it's a day in the park. It should be a lot of fun. So we're trying to have some meaningful and fun activities for all kids and families throughout the valley to come to. We are this past year, so will be the second year, we did have a pilot program that we continued this year that was a partnership between Runabout Sports, Roanoke City Police. This year, Roanoke City Sheriff's Department also added in, and they ran with our kids this summer on Wednesday mornings. A group of kids and these running people would go down on the greenway, and they ran to prepare for the 5K.
Okay.
And they'll continue to run this fall when school starts after Labor Day. They start back up. I'm sure they're waiting for cooler temperatures. They'll be very happy with cooler temperatures. And so we will have our own kids. They will be represented at the Spooky Sprint running and with our running partners. So that's really exciting to watch. And the kids had the best time last year. It was when I was announced as the new executive director. So I was there watching the kids run and how excited they were. It was a really fun day. And we're hoping that this year, with the addition of the Fall Festival wellness event, that we will have even more fun.
Oh, Wonderful. All right. Well, to find out more information about, well, everything Weston Center, but including that spooky sprint, you would go to where?
The www.westendcenter.org.
Okay, westendcenter.org.
And we also have a Facebook. So the West End Center for Youth Facebook is probably the most up-to-date notifications.
Okay. Well, once again, joined here on Buzz for Good by Karen Pillis, Executive Director of West End Center, who has only been on the job since November of 2021, so approaching your first anniversary here. I know you're probably in part still learning as you go about all that happens here. And you're also probably still learning a lot of the kids whose lives you're impacting and families whose lives you're impacting. Mm-hmm. You know, if you mentioned that donations and donors and foundations are so important to the work that you're doing. If you could only share one story about a child whose life is being impacted by West End Center to really try to grab somebody, whose story would you tell?
You know, I think, so my prior job, I was partners with West End Center. So I've known some of these kids for a long time. I was in mental health back then. So some of the kids, we also provide counseling here at West End Center through family service. So I've known a lot of the kids and their families, which is been very rewarding through the years. And we have a family that is a longtime family at West End. I mean, depending on what generation you're looking at, there's been at least three generations who've come here, and there's now some great-grandchildren that go here. And I know that the family, as they've gone through ups and downs and transitions in their life, because they have had some transitions in their lives, they have really welcomed that this has been the safe space for their kids. Mm-hmm. Not the youngest, but the great-grandchild that attends here, there's a younger one. I watched as the most recent transition occurred, which brought that child to us. And I just think the stability of the West End Center, the fact that we knew the family and that there were other family members here, just really helped him to stabilize and become comfortable here and really comfortable with the circumstances of his life. And that is a common place thing. So we, not that there's, you know, everybody goes through transitions, but just that, you know, whether it's a move, whether it's a job change, whether it's a school change, whether it's whatever it is, we are the given in these kids and these families' lives. And I think that the kids and the students and the children and the families themselves really look to us for that. This summer, we were able to help some families, two families who were in some financial trouble. They had, you know, COVID and jobs and health had really thrown them for a loop. And we were able to connect them to some local funds that would help pay off some back apartment rent. Mm-hmm. So they weren't homeless, and they were going to have to move if they hadn't had that done. And so those people that are just making it, those of us who are just paddling along, when something comes to kind of sweeps us under, it's nice to have a West End Center that maybe we're not the, the DSS in some people's lives, but these people don't need a constant support, but maybe they just need today. They need a little support. And that's what West End can do because of our connections in the Valley. So we are there for families, not just the kids.
That's fantastic. I mean, families, houses can change, jobs can change, life situations, schools will change.
Right.
Finances can change, but you guys are home base.
Yes. And I mean, many of our families never go through any of that, but they still are, I think, feel fortunate to have West End, whose day, you know, we open our doors every day to their kids. And if they're late, we're not, you know, calling them and yelling at them. And so I think that they appreciate that our family focus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once again, Karen Pillis, Executive Director of West End Center, thank you so much for joining me and sharing more about all that you guys do.
Thank you for having me. We love to talk about our families and our teens and our youth and our program. So come back anytime.
Absolutely. Well, savor the silence of this last week.
Yes.
And good luck in this coming school year.
Thank you so much.
Again, thanks so much for tuning in today to Buzz for Good. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and now TikTok, all at Buzz for Good. And our website, buzzforgood.com. That's Buzz, B-U-Z-Z, number 4, good.com. I want to send a special shout out to our sponsors, Freedom First Credit Union, where people bank for good. That's freedomfirst.com, as well as Partners in Financial Planning, a Southwest Virginia-based financial management firm, partnersinfinancialplanning.com. From the West End Center, we turn to another great local after-school nonprofit, a local nonprofit, but with a national brand, and that is Boys and Girls Clubs of Southwest Virginia, which celebrates its 25th anniversary here in 2022. And here is my conversation with former Roanoke City Council member and Boys and Girls Club's CEO, Michelle Davis. Well, it is my pleasure to welcome Michelle Davis, CEO of Boys and Girls Club of Southwest Virginia, here to Buzz for Good. Welcome, Michelle.
Good morning. Thank you. How are you?
I am doing great. Now, is this a quiet time at Boys and Girls Club in between summer and back to school, or is it busy, or does it depend on which club I'm talking about?
I was going to say, it depends on which club you're talking about. So here at the administrative offices, which are in Roanoke City, it's a quiet day. We do not have students this week. We've got all of our staff in their classrooms, refreshing their classrooms and going through training for the next school year. But we already have clubs up and running in several of our other school districts, including Montgomery County and Franklin County. So we've got other clubs already up and running.
Okay. And so we are speaking today actually on August the 16th. So Roanoke City Public Schools start on Tuesday, I believe, August the 23rd. So at
every
that
point, parent has that date circled on their calendar.
So it's a quiet time where you are. Is that a good thing or is that a sad thing?
You know, we always worry during the times where we don't have our students here in the building. We love to be able to see them every day. And so there's always a balance between being able to accomplish what we need to as far as staff training, making sure that our kids are always safe when they're here within our building, but also making sure that we are providing opportunity for our students to have a safe place to be and then, you know, get a few meals and engage in some great learning activities as well. So it's always a mixed bag. I think our staff, our frontline staff are really grateful for week of planning, but from the administrative side, we certainly worry when we don't have our kids right here in our sights.
So what does an after school program with Boys and Girls Club look like?
You know, we our Roanoke City program is unique in that we have school buses, typically upwards to about 20 school buses that drop off here at our 9th Street Club after school. So we are pulling from about 20 different schools from elementary all the way up through high school.
Wow. And how many kids is that?
Say it again.
How many kids is that?
So typically anywhere between 160 is our goal on a daily basis, 160 to 180. And hopefully here in the next couple of years, we can continue to expand in order to increase that capacity as well.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So continue. You were talking about the other locations as well.
Yes. So with all of our locations, you know, we really are anywhere from usually 500 to 600 students when you look at them combined. And so our other locations are school-based, which means the kids don't typically have to be transported to the after-school program where they're within the school. And so each site runs a little bit differently, but the one thing that always stays the same at every club site is our power hour. And so you'll hear us talk about that a lot. That is the hour each day that all of our students and all of our staff and all of our tutors and teachers are working on homework. And typically it's between 3 to 4. Now that gets adjusted. Our high school kids sometimes don't get here until 4 o'clock, but typically it's that 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock time frame. And we're really focusing on the academics of our students.
Lovely. Lovely. After the power hour, what else is happening at your after school programs?
Yeah, you know, that's where a lot of the fun begins. So first of all, before power hour, we always do snack because nobody can do homework on an empty stomach. Then we work through power hour and then move on to other kinds of extracurricular activities that are really focused in the other pillars of our youth development programming. So that includes good citizenship, character building and development, and then also our healthy lifestyles programming. So there are sports going on. We have field trips. We have bike riding. We have gardening, cooking. We have all kinds of activities, dance, yoga. And the activities vary from week to week and from site to site. So we really try hard to partner with our community partners in each of our locales to bring them on board, to provide some of that afternoon programming, to make sure that our kids are really engaged in the community in which they're growing up as well.
Beautiful. How much does it cost?
So almost all of our sites are completely free, and that's due to the grant funding that helps provide those opportunities. So we do rely heavily on 21st century grant funding, and in any of our 21st century funded sites, the program is completely free. And our Roanoke City site, which is not grant funded, we do have a $15 weekly fee. But Michael, I want everyone to know that we do not turn anyone away for inability to pay. And we keep the proof of burden of proof, very low, which is if you as a parent tell me that you can't afford the $15 weekly fee, I'm not going to ask you any questions. We'll make sure that your child has a spot with us, regardless of your ability to pay. So we do, it helps us with that weekly fee. It helps us to provide greater opportunity for our kids and for those parents who can pay it. We're grateful. But for anyone who feels that that is just too big of a burden at this point, we want your kid here anyway. So whatever we can do to make sure and work with you in order to get your children here, that's our ultimate goal.
I mean, even $15 a week has got to be just a small fraction of covering your budget. So how else do you, you know, fund yourselves?
It is. And thank you for recognizing that. It is a very, very small fraction, less than about 5%. And so the rest of the budget is completely funded through our awesome team here who is working daily on fundraising. So a huge portion of our budget comes from individual and corporate giving. You know, people think because we're a Boys and Girls Club that Boys and Girls Clubs of America, you know, the Denzel Washingtons of the world are somehow funding our programming. And while we do have a lot of partnerships that come through that with some of our corporate partners like Buffalo Wild Wings or Ross Dress for Less or Old Navy, we don't receive a lot of funding through those partnerships. So our funding is provided by our local donors. And I just cannot emphasize that enough, that without our local donors and our community support, we would not have the ability to run this program. So that's a huge portion. We also go after a lot of grants. We have municipal support in each of the locales that we serve in, which is also critically important. And then we piece it together from there. We make sure we do some fundraising on our own with our events. And those are great for getting people out and involved and engaged in the club. And we really go after every opportunity we can find to bring those dollars to keep the programs up and running.
Lovely. Lovely. Well, once again, I am joined here on Buzz for Good by Michelle Davis, the CEO of Boys and Girls Club of Southwest Virginia. And Michelle, you know, you're talking about having to really reach out to funders and foundations and donors. And I imagine a lot of that comes from telling the success stories of the kids who go through the program. So if you could only talk about one child whose life has been impacted by Boys and Girls Clubs of Southwest Virginia, what would it be?
So I'm not going to tell you about just one kid. I'm going to tell you about a couple of kids who all fall in the same scenario, which is I've been so proud this summer to have a record number of former Boys and Girls Club kids working for us in our summer programs. We work a lot on what we call our youth employment program, which is teaching our students how to go after that first job, what a quality first job looks like, being prepared with the soft skills of, you know, the simple things, knowing how to call in if you're sick, knowing how to speak to your manager, knowing how to advocate for yourself in the workplace. And so we've been running this program for over 4 years now. We have partnered over the years with West End Center, with Presbyterian Community Center, with Patrick Henry High School and William Fleming High School. And I'm so pleased to tell you that this past summer, when everyone was struggling to find employees, we had more previous Boys and Girls Club kids working for us than we ever had in the past. There was a time when we had, gosh, probably 8 or 10 former Boys and Girls Club kids who were working for us, either former or current. So either as a junior staff or as a full-time staff with our students who have already graduated from high school. And, you know, it really helped us make sure that we had all of our programs fully staffed this summer. It's the first time we've been fully staffed in years. And I can say that the investment we've made in this youth employment program really was a great benefit to being able to get all of our classrooms open for our kids this summer.
Awesome. Well, and as I recall, I believe you shared with me, I mean, your hourly pay rate is pretty significant.
We worked really, really hard to make sure that our hourly pay is competitive in this market. We start at $14.50 an hour, and we're working to get that up to $15 very, very soon. But I can really attribute that to conversations with the former executive director over at the West End Center. Joy Parrish used to ask me, you know, how are we trying to teach our kids how to get out of poverty when we're paying poverty wages ourselves? And I thought that was such a poignant statement and something that really stuck with me and something we have worked to overcome over the past 5 years. And I'm so pleased at where we are right now, being able to offer quality part-time and full-time jobs. And I really also want people to know that youth development is an excellent career. Boys and Girls Clubs of America offers an incredible opportunity beyond the Roanoke region to really grow within a career, either in fundraising, in programming, in you know, safety and facilities management, and so many other opportunities that I really want to encourage kids who are, you know, looking at careers while they're in high school or while they're in college to consider nonprofit, nonprofit management, and youth development specifically, because we have really great opportunities right here at home.
You know, hearing you talk about all that reminds me of a conversation that we have had in the past about, you know, nonprofit organizations needing to act more like for-profit businesses. And while, you know, I'm happy to debate that anytime with folks that, you know, nonprofits are a different business model altogether, but you know, at the same time, I love hearing you say that, you know, we need to attract the best and the brightest. And part of that comes with, you know, having an affordable, livable wage. And that's definitely a more of a for-profit mentality. And so kudos to you for acknowledging that and definitely earning that CEO title that you have versus executive director.
Thank you. Thanks. I do appreciate that. And I think it's time that we recognize, you know, the professionalization of this industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Well, once again, Michelle Davis, CEO of Boys and Girls Clubs of Southwest Virginia. What else do you have going on this fall, which I believe is also the 25th anniversary of the clubs?
It is. You took a little bit of my thunder there, Michael, but we are so excited to announce our 25th anniversary coming up this fall. And, you know, we've been in the Valley for 25 years serving kids throughout Montgomery County and obviously down into Franklin County. And so we are just thrilled that the foundation that was laid by our original founders, by our previous executive directors and CEOs, you know, that we are still here today and that we are thriving. So we are celebrating that officially on Giving Tuesday, which is November 29th this year. It's our biggest annual fundraiser of the year. And we are really thrilled to be at the Grandin Theater for that event this year with both lunch and dinner opportunities to come out and hear about the great work this organization has done over the past 25 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, we are actually launching early this year our Project Angel Tree. And so Project Angel Tree each year is our attempt at soliciting gifts for each of our individual club kids. We want to make sure every child has a gift to open around the holiday season. And so we work with our corporate partners, with individual donors to provide a new unused wrapped present for each of our club members. And usually that totals between 500 and 600. And I think this year we'll probably be up towards about 650 total gifts that we will be collecting for our club members this year. So due to that volume, we are launching early. And I'm pleased that those opportunities are open now. If anyone is interested, it's a great way to really get your business, potentially your team, working together to benefit an organization in town. And it can be fun to go out now that we can all go shopping again. It can be fun to go out shopping for those gifts. So let us know if you're interested in sponsoring one of our angels this year.
And how could people find out more about Boys and Girls Clubs?
So the best place to go is our website. And our website is, it stands for Boy Girl Club Southwest Virginia. So it's www.bgcswva.org. Pretty sure if you Google Boys and Girls Roanoke, you'll find us pretty quickly too. So all of our information is on there. We have up-to-date information on how you can attend our annual events. You'll see lots of updated photos, success stories from our kids. You'll hear about our scholarship fund, which we are now in our third year of fundraising for our scholarship. And I'm so pleased that we were able to offer a $10,000 scholarship to one of our students who's going to be going to JMU this fall. That fund is a great opportunity to leave an endowed legacy that really benefits kids. Our goal is to raise $1 million over 10 years in that fund. So if you do the math on that, Michael, that's $100,000 a year for 10 years. And eventually to be able to give out, you know, $30,000 to $40,000 a year in scholarships to former Boys and Girls Club members. So, and that's not just for four-year colleges or two-year degrees. That's also applicable for anybody who's going back to school, who's looking for a certificate or any kind of hands-on training. We want to make that money available for Boys and Girls Club kids.
Outstanding. Well, Michelle, thanks so much again for coming on Buzz for Good. And thanks for all the work that you and your staff are doing through Boys and Girls Clubs of Southwest Virginia to provide affordable and quality after-school programming for children throughout the Valley. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Good luck this school year.
Thank you.
And lastly, our most recent episode of our TV show Buzz features the Grandin Theater Film Lab, which was founded in 2016 as an after-school program to teach filmmaking to area high school students. It's an awesome show, if I do say so myself. It's our first hour-long episode where we got to air some clips from the films these students have created over the years. Many of these films have appeared in festivals around the world and have won both national and international awards. Here are some voices of Film Lab sponsors and parents that we featured in the show. One of the Film Lab's biggest fans is Barbara Parker, who came to the nonprofit amidst incredible loss. In 2015, Barbara's daughter, Allison, a WDBJ7 television reporter, along with her cameraman, Adam Ward, were gunned down while on assignment. Transforming pain into purpose, Barbara and her husband, Andy, founded For Allison Foundation, which gives young people the opportunity to find their passion in the arts.
My name is Barbara Parker. I'm from Collinsville, Virginia. And my connection to the Film Lab is when my daughter Allison was killed, we wanted to do something in her memory that was something she would love. And she loved the arts. She was a dancer. And so we started the For Allison Foundation, and we give funding to programs that really give kids arts opportunities they can't get in school. And so when I found out about the Film Lab, it was just This is exactly what we want to do. These are real life skills. We had been to the Grandin Theater before, but when I really found out about Film Lab and what they were doing, this was 2016, and they put a star out front for Adam and Allison. And I came up when the star was installed and talked to Ian about what they were doing, and he told me about Film Lab, and it was the first year. And we had just started the foundation in Allison's memory, and I thought, wow, this is exactly what we want to do. Because so many organizations in the arts try to do programming in the schools for kids, arts program, but it might be, sometimes it's a puppet show or a traveling theater troupe or something. And we wanted to do something different. We wanted to do something that could make a real impact on kids who had a specific interest in the arts. And that's what the Film Lab does. I mean, these kids are motivated to learn life skills that most of the time you'd have to go to college to learn this. And here you've got the Grandin Theater Film Lab right here that kids can learn about production.
My name is Mona Raza, and I am the mom of a couple of Film Lab graduates. My son Nabil joined the first year in 2016 and did it throughout his high school career. And my daughter Zoya also spent 3 years at Film Lab. So Nabil had written a film, a script about a newspaper that's kind of taken over by a big corporation and a reporter that's kind of investigating something shady and is silenced in the end. And they actually got a real TV reporter in the film cast as a TV reporter and just made it look so real and professional. You know, we got to see that they were working on something, and you know, sometimes we'd provide snacks or give them rides, but really didn't know what the end product was going to be. So, you know, for the first time you come in expecting something cutesy and amateurish, but then when you come to the premiere, you see these really well-made professional productions, and it's just amazing. It makes you so proud. And we attended a couple of, I think we went to one film festival in D.C., and that's wonderful, too, because the program will send their films out to festivals. It's kind of, you know, something parents aren't aware of until you get an email saying that your child's film has won something or is being premiered in Australia or something like that. Nabil, actually, I credit Film Lab. He got a full scholarship to college, and he said that the committee that was selecting him really only wanted to discuss Film Lab, and so I think Film Lab paid for his college at UVA, so that was a good investment.
I'm Heather Millar, and I live in Roanoke, Virginia. I have two kids who been through Film Lab. Ella went to Film Lab for 3 years. She was a student at Patrick Henry High School. And Jack has just finished his first year of Film Lab, and he's so excited to do another year of Film Lab. My favorite film that either of my kids worked on so far is Detective Texas Toast. It's a tongue-in-cheek film noir about a actual piece of toast, like a white bread, sandwich bread piece of toast. And watching how professional these kids are on set was so cool. I really thought it was going to be kind of just a bunch of bumbling kids, but they actually knew what they were doing. They're talking stuff out, and someone's holding some reflective light, and they're setting up their lights and trying shoots out in different ways and working together calmly and respectfully and with humor. I loved being on set with them. I've learned from my kids and watching my kids in Film Lab and chaperoning some of their shoots where you really get to watch them interact with one another and figure stuff out. That's helped me have more confidence in my job as an adult. I think a lot of people think Film Lab is a movie club. And I would love for people to understand that it's more of a team sport. It's not athletic, but it's really a team building project. So at the premiere, especially for Texas Toast, we were so excited for her. And, you know, all of the families are coming to this event, and we're dressed up like, you know, like a red carpet kind of affair. And everybody in the audience is so excited. And it was beyond thrilling when the whole audience laughed in all the right spots, like guffaw belly laugh at the jokes within that movie. It just made me like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they really did this. And it came out awesome. And it's not just me that thinks so. This whole room loves this film. And that just made me so proud of all of them.
I've had many mysteries that were tough to crack. I don't think any compare to the mystery I was faced with by Scarlet Winter.
Am I interrupting anything?
I guess not. It's been a long time, Scarlet.
What happened to us?
You know what happened to us. My life isn't suited for romance, and neither's yours. You're a dangerous woman, and I'm a dangerous grain. We can't see each other.
Tex, I don't care if our lives aren't suited for a relationship. I'm tired of waiting.
I'm Wendy Schaefer. I'm the mother of Carter Schaefer. He's been in film labs all through high school. He graduated last year, and he's actually doing some work with them again this year. It's a wonderful program. For Carter, he has Asperger's syndrome, so he is a little different outside the box. A lot of his ideas and a lot of the ways that he sees life is very different. Before we started film lab, he was a little more subdued, and he wouldn't really go out, and he wouldn't talk to people a lot and that sort of thing. We tried football. We tried all kinds of different things for him. Then it just wasn't his, thing. Once we got him into film lab, however, he came home one day and he said, you know, I found my people. He's been, I think with film lab, he's done about 7 projects. And I think he's even touched some other ones. He's done voices, he's acted, he's written, he's done a lot of things that I would have never expected for someone who at one point in his life couldn't even, you know, like hold a conversation with somebody, couldn't make eye contact with someone. So we're incredibly grateful for that kind of growth with him. But whenever he came home and he was like, I found my people, I was like, oh my gosh. You know, it's just, it was a light in our hearts and in our lives. And since then, I mean, Tyler's not getting rid of us. Even if Carter moves on, Tyler's going to still see parts and pieces of us. Hopefully he reaches out.
To watch them develop life skills that are crucial.
Okay, so we just had the showcase. It was beautiful. There's a lot of rising stars here in Roanoke. You know, a lot of talented filmmakers, actors, writers, you know. It's a beautiful showcase, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
To watch them create products that are not only validated by themselves and their families and friends, but go out into the entire world.
Tonight went really good, and I enjoyed it a lot. When I got up to do the interview, I could not stop talking because I just love seeing everything come together, and I cannot wait to do it again next year.
To watch them use Film Lab on their college applications, to watch them excel and get accepted into Savannah College of Arts and Design, to UVA, to VCU, to UNC School of Art, to University of Southern California Film School.
The premiere was better than I expected. The movie did so well, and I am just excited for it to see what it can do in the world.
And then follow them as they'll continue to grow and become professionals in this industry is, I can't think of a better usage of my time.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was so nice to be able to show my film in front of a whole bunch of people. I mean, the whole front row was packed full of my friends that I invited. I loved getting their input on it. But yeah, I mean, they've heard me talk about it. I've talked their ear off about all the stuff I've been doing for the past year. So it's amazing to be able to see everything on screen and everybody to see what I've been doing.
These kids are incredibly talented, and we've got to give them that opportunity. To have the Grandin Theater Film Lab who gives them that opportunity outside of college, I think we've got to support that.
If your child has an opportunity to do this, then definitely I would recommend it 100%.
You don't understand until you see the end result. You have no idea of how amazing your kid is going to be. I mean, it's just awesome.
Many thanks to everyone for tuning in to today's Buzz for Good. Let us know about the nonprofit that is near and dear to your heart, and we will endeavor to feature it on a future episode. In the meantime, I hope all of you with school-aged children and grandchildren have an amazing school year, and that all of us continue being a buzz for good in our communities. Bye now.